This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7. I'm Dan Hurley. Effective change happens best when the people impacted initiate the process, inform the plans from the beginning, and then collaborate with outside groups who have the expertise, experience, and resources to translate goals and dreams into the reality on the ground. That is the model that residents in the neighborhoods of Bond Hill and Roselawn in the north central area of Cincinnati have employed over the last 4 years. The results are already evident with demolitions and groundbreakings in the first phase of the redevelopment on a major revitalization project. We are joined now by some of the principal partners in this effort, including the executive director of the Bond Hill and Roselawn Collaborative and president of J. Powdrell & Associates, Joyce Powdrell, the president and CEO of the Community Economic Advancement Initiative, CEAI, Gene Ellington, the president of the Roselawn Community Council, Carol Smith, and the director of commercial development for the Port, formerly the Greater Cincinnati Redevelopment Authority, Robert Sanders. To join our discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Welcome, everybody. Robert, welcome back.
Thank you.
You were here, I think we were talking about Walnut Hills not too long ago, but moving a little bit north, but not a great deal. So, Gene Ellington, let's start with, what are the strengths that you could point out in Bond Hill and Roselawn that those two communities have going into this entire process that, you know, maybe some of our listeners don't know the neighborhoods very well. And when we say redevelopment, you know, that may draw up all sorts of images. What are some of the strengths of these two neighborhoods?
First of all, Both people of Bond Hill and Roselawn are very committed and passionate about their communities, and that is absolute necessary ingredients to do economic development. But in addition to that, both of those communities have a large and long historic reputation of having being a business center. First in the Jewish community, but before.
And we're talking built out along Reading Road.
Absolutely. And so if you, as we would say back in the day, you know, along the Reading Road corridor, there were a lot of businesses. And even after the culture shift, there were still a lot of viable businesses along Reading Road. And so we have great space to do redevelopment, and we have people who are passionate and committed about their neighborhoods and want to see their neighborhoods thrive.
In round numbers, how many people live in these two neighborhoods?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
The experts
Joyce?
Over here.
So we'll throw it to Joyce over here.
So combined, it's approximately a little over 13,000 residents.
Okay. So as Cincinnati neighborhoods, of course, can be either big or very small, these are pretty sizable neighborhoods. These are a lot of residential. Carol Smith, you're the president of the Roselawn Community Council. We're going to talk a lot about Roselawn and Bond Hill today, but how distinctive are these two neighborhoods? Are the identities, the needs really the same, or were there parts of this planning process that had to focus at one time on Bond Hill and another time on Roselawn? You know, how many differences are there here?
Well, there are some, not a lot, but some. Roselawn has more multifamily housing than Bond Hill. And you can say we have three business districts because we have Seymour, we have the area between Section and Summit, and then we have from Summit to Ronald Reagan corridor. So we have three business districts, and by us having more multifamilies, we have more renters than Bond Hill. So there are those are some of the distinct issues. And then we have three senior citizen buildings, with a fourth one being built right now. So we have a heavy senior population.
Okay. So there are differences, and that has to be taken into account during the planning process. Joyce Powderl, what are the, and there's a lot of stuff that's already been hinted at here, but what are the needs? What do these communities need in order to get better, to be more attractive, to hold their populations, all of those things?
Well, that's a good question. And I like to say that the residents of both communities had the opportunity to invest over 1,600 hours of just talking about that specific subject. And what they identified...
Isn't that a wonderful way of putting it? They had the opportunity to invest over 1,600 hours.
Yes.
Okay, go right ahead.
Yes, they did. And they came up with seven priorities for both communities. And those seven priorities are the business districts, coming together as a community, housing, safety, youth and education, employment, and health and wellness. And I think there are things that every community wants to be recognized or as doing very well in. But these are the priorities of both communities.
And I know for people who maybe don't live there, it's those business districts that maybe jump out very quickly and sort of, if you're just passing through, may say something, what people may form opinions about the character of those two neighborhoods. And therefore, it seems to me that a lot of effort here, that as I read these plans, is going into the business districts because they're important in their own right, but they're important in terms of communicating an image of what's going on. Is that fair, Gene?
Absolutely, because none of those things can happen without economics. When you talk about what the need is for capital, because when you have capital, then you can begin to address some of those other issues. That's the reason CEAI was formed. It was formed out of response about a spike in crime, and a few of us understood that if we're going to change that, then we have to change the economic condition of the community. So when we create business opportunities, we also create employment opportunities, and we also create investment opportunities so that we can begin to change the nature of what goes on in those communities. So money is key to that. So that's why the business districts are so important. But we can't simply look at raising the capital. We also have to raise consciousness, because we have to make sure that people become invested in their communities. I don't mean necessarily financially, but they have to care about their community, have to be concerned about their community, and then see the things that are happening as something that benefits them.
Robert, you're with the Port, and what's been the role of the Port? These other three people are really grounded in the neighborhoods. What's been the role of the Port in this process?
Sure. I think the most important piece is to, you know, recognize that, you know, through our work, we have to be almost as grounded as the people doing the work in the neighborhood because, again, you know, we've got control over a significant amount of real estate, and the community cares much about that, as you mentioned earlier. And so the way that we've been involved is, first of all, you talk about the economics have to be there. So one of the first things that we did was we actually hired UC Economics to do a feasibility study in 2012 to get rid of the notion that there was no capital, you know, in that corridor. And so the result of that through funding from Duke was that we actually showed that there was over $100 million of retail demand within a 3-mile radius of the Roseline-Bond Hill corridor at the intersection of Seymour and Redding. So one, that's huge because, you know, when you're talking to commercial real estate brokers and things like that, you can say, well, wait a minute, here are the numbers. But additionally, when we go into a neighborhood, you know, we actually make sure that they want us there. And then furthermore, we listen to what's important to them. And, you know, the three things that they pointed out to us was, you know, Jordan Crossing, which is now Midpoint Crossing, the old Seymour Plaza. And then they said our business districts have to thrive and develop. And so over the last 5 years, that's essentially what we focused on. And as such, the old Seymour Plaza, you know, there's over 100,000 square feet of new development and jobs now in that corridor, and actually over 13 acres that needed to be redeveloped. There's only 1 acre left for that parcel. Additionally, Midpoint Crossing, you know, we had to graze that and make it pad ready. We've had a few interested users in that site. Unfortunately, didn't work out, but we still get calls probably biweekly for that site. And then the focus has been in the business district where...
And Midpoint is in Bond Hill.
That's
so
in Bond Hill.
Let's just be clear. Some people may... There's been a lot of stories about Midpoint, and people may know about that, but not necessarily associate it with the neighborhoods we're talking about.
Correct. Today. So Seymour Plaza is on Roseline, Midpoint, Bond Hill. But additionally, you've got the senior housing project that Carol mentioned earlier, which is in Roseline as well.
Well, I saw in some of the materials on the planning talking about micro-enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean in this situation?
So micro-enterprises are very small businesses or startup businesses. And what our work together brings is an opportunity for micro-enterprise businesses or very small businesses or startup businesses to be able to acquire space at or below market rate. And because of some of the funding mechanisms for our projects, it allows opportunities for smaller businesses to gain a foothold in the community. But it also creates the opportunity for growth. I think our partnership together, particularly with the port and both communities, is that everybody has a clear understanding about what's good for the community. A Midpoint Crossing could be filled right now, but if it's not the right kind of opportunity, it doesn't have any long-lasting benefit for the community. And so our working together to make sure that, you know, we don't just get some big box store that only creates maybe 10 jobs as opposed to a lot of micro businesses that could create 100 jobs. So,
and I'm thinking that micro businesses in those business corridors, like along Reading Road and thinking about Roselawn, Carol Smith, those were small businesses to begin with. That's what that sort of corridor was designed for, made for. I may use design here in a loose sense.
Mm-hmm.
But attracting those kinds of opportunities back to those sorts of storefronts is exactly what you need.
We have some of that now. I would venture to say that Roselawn has an enormous amount, well, I won't say enormous, a large amount of micro-businesses, especially African-American businesses. We have in our mid-city office building, there are all kinds of, from healthcare providers, security companies, tailors, beauticians. We have so many different types of small businesses, accountants, tax preparers, all kinds of small businesses in not only mid-city, but we have a new office building. Well, it's not new. It was recently purchased and rehabilitated on the corner of Section and Reading Road that has wonderful, nice new space. And it's a beautiful building that has opened up for more small businesses to occupy. And then our Roselawn Center was purchased a couple of years ago, and they're in the process of redeveloping it. And that's another opportunity for the micro businesses.
Yeah. Joyce, one of the things about this sort of project, this is, first off, it's long term. There's no quick answers here. But what people need to see something happening. They need to know that there's something moving. We're not just going to hold 1,601 hours of planning. We're going to get farther down the road. What's happening so far that people are might be happening soon that people will be able to see? And I'm thinking particularly residents of these two neighborhoods. They can say, oh, wait a minute, something good's happening here.
As an organization, the Bond Hill Roselawn Collaborative is charged with convening and implementing. And we are just a year old as a nonprofit, and our objective is to bring people together. Some of the work that we've done over the year to bring people together, we just partner with St. Aloysius and Learning Through Art to bring Jazz on the Lawn to St. Aloysius. We partner with Carol and the Roselawn Community Council in National Night Out at the Cincinnati Reds facility. So what we like for people to see over the next coming months is that we are working together in the community as collaborative partners to make the community better. And then next month, we're going to convene everybody in the community just to come here on September the 17th at the Cincinnati Reds Youth Academy to hear about what we've done in the past and what's next for phase two from the Bond Hill Roselawn Collaborative perspective, and which will really center around strategic planning and adding activities to those actions that we talked about that we wanted in our community to make our community better.
Robert, one of the questions that I was wondering about here is that there's another parcel that people have probably paid attention to, and that is the Cincinnati Gardens parcel. Is that in the boundaries of these two neighborhoods?
Yes.
Okay. Technically, where does that lie? Is that in Bond Hill or in Roselawn? I get lost.
I'm going to take the fifth, but no, I think it's, no, I
think, and I'm going to
actually,
say it's in
actually thinks
Hill.
It's in Bond Hill.
You think it's in Bond Hill? Okay,
and I'm going to have to beg the difference. Let's go back to the maps.
So, what are the prospects there?
The prospects. So that site is actually managed by our industrial vice president Melissa Johnson. And so
at the port,
At the port. And so, you know, from what I understand, there are interested, you know, parties. But the main thing is, you know, repositioning that site that was vacant and blighted for jobs. So it's all about bringing jobs to the community, because, again, when you're talking to retailers like, you know, Starbucks and people like that, they're like, where's my daytime traffic? And if you can point to the fact that, you know, there's all this industrial development going on around here as well, bringing in jobs, that speaks volumes.
Okay. And the point that you just brought up about where Cincinnati Gardens is located, it's important to emphasize that's why it's necessary to have two communities that are contiguous to be able to work together. Yeah. I've been in Cincinnati most of my life, and Cincinnati is very, very territorial when it comes to its neighborhoods. And so when you have neighborhoods that are contiguous to each other, to have a collaboration between two communities is essential. So then when the shovel goes in the ground and the building goes up, it won't matter where it's located as long as the benefit is derived for both communities.
You're a big thinker that, by the way, won't always happen around here. I mean, people do draw those lines hard and fast sometimes and want to claim whatever. Early on, Gene Ellington, you brought up the question of capital, investment capital. Where do you stand here? What kind of – and I'm thinking of a couple of prospects. What role has the city played? And where are the sources of capital going forward?
Well, in our inaugural activity, that is Community Economic Advancement Initiative, we set out a goal of raising $50 million to spend citywide. And we went to the city of Cincinnati. Cincinnati provided us with $4 million over a five-year period of time, $1 million to fund our operations for 5 years, and $3 million to spend in Bond Hill and Roselawn. And we committed equally $1.5 million to Bond Hill, $1.5 million to Roselawn. The port has been able to secure some other grants. But additionally, the work that we're going to do has to be beyond what the city is ever going to be able to fund completely. And so we have to look at other funding sources as well as private investments. We're working on a development project now, and we're seeking private investment and regular bank financing in order to be able to accomplish that.
Okay. And Joyce, you've been around development a long time. how hard is it right now in this market? I mean, we have what's being called full employment, 3.9% or whatever it is, but we all know there's some issues there. But the what is it like to be out in the market talking to banks when you're representing a community like Bond Hill or Roselawn and you've got an idea for a new business, whether it's a retail business or it's some other investment? What's the mood out there?
I think the advantage that Gene has, as well as Robert has, is what we're doing in the community as an organization. So to be able to go and talk to a banker or a funder that provides grants, to be able to say, we have engaged the residents, their full support, it is documented, they support our efforts. We go to the table, we sit at the table when they're discussing about development. So before it goes to an ask, they know if they have the support of the residents in the community. So from our perspective, it's about supporting their efforts to make our community better. I have the advantage of having a roadmap to that work, and that's in the Bond Hill Roselawn plan. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't fit, I have the opportunity to come to the table and say, hey, guys, this is not what the residents said. They said this, and how are we going to address that?
So you can stay focused.
Yes. Yes, we stay focused. And I think as a banker, as a being a recovered banker.
A recovering banker.
that's something good to hear, that your developer is talking to the residents of the community.
Well, I want to thank all of you. I want to congratulate you on the collaboration that you have undertaken and wish you the best as you move forward on this. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. Segment producer is Layla Shakuli. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our program are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley. Stay tuned to 91.7 for Here and Now, coming up next.